5:44 are indeed on Friday morning. I don't know if you'll love the weekend forecast, though. Cooler and bit of rain. Free admission to provincial parks tomorrow, by the way. SAS Parks Day. Maybe camping is in your future. We'll talk to SAS Parks coming up a little bit later in the show on that as well. What programming is being offered for the kids, for the families. We'll see if your yard time, your patio time, potentially your pool time is impacted by the forecast for the weekend. Hey, the Riders play tomorrow against BC. In BC, Saskatchewan will be without kick returner Mario Alford this week as he deals with a hip injury. It means rookie Dre McCray will get the chance in the regular season now after an impressive training camp. He's next man up. Head coach Corey Mace has full confidence.
I know he's excited, and guys are going to be excited to block for him as well. And you know, Mario's been nothing but, you know, an extra coach for him as well.
Alford has been dynamic for the club so far, leading the CFL in average kickoff return, so that's certainly hard to replace. McCray has been following along closely.
Just using it as a time to learn. I have one of the greatest returners in the CFL right next to me, so if I don't use it to learn, I'm not a very smart person in that aspect.
Now, the Riders are now 4-1 after losing their first game of the season last week to Calgary 24-10. Stay tuned. Coming up in just minutes, Green Zone's Belton Johnson will go over the game with me, what the Riders need to do to win this one. Just before you watch the game, hey, you can fill up on berries. Something to do this weekend. St. Mary's Anglican Church here in the city is holding its third annual Saskatoon Berry Festival tomorrow from 11:30 to 2:30, featuring fresh Saskatoons by the 5-pound bag, and as well, baked Saskatoon berry pies available for sale. If you haven't pre-ordered, they're telling you to come early as they sold out quickly last year. Everybody wants a Saskatoon berry pie. Yeah, it's being encouraged. It's being put on to encourage people to support local. And again, that happens at the church, which is on 15th Ave. They'll also have some locally made bannock, children's activities and crafts, and another bake sale. So St. Mary's Anglican Church tomorrow, 11:30 to 2:30. We told you yesterday about this new movie from Chris Nolan. It's called The Odyssey, and how the IMAX in Regina is already selling tickets. You can buy your tickets for the show next year. That's right, next July. You can get your seat right now at the IMAX. Been hearing that a lot of people are doing that. And in fact, obviously they're not just doing it in Regina at the IMAX, but at IMAXs around the world. Something like, 1.5 million has already been rated. The movie's not even out yet. I just saw the trailer for it. It's like a 30-second. This is truly a tease. It was like 30 seconds yesterday. I went to Jurassic World Rebirth, and before the movie they showed The Odyssey, the 30-second. It looks interesting. Tom Holland, that's right, Spider-Man is in a good chunk of the preview. Christopher Nolan's movies are always right up there. Had a discussion with a coworker, and he said he, in fact, got a ticket already to the IMAX a year in advance. One of the people who got it, and he's like, oh, Chris Nolan, I'll go and see whatever he has. Seems to be a good strategy for The Odyssey so far. Bring them out, bring them out, hey. Bring them out, bring them out, yeah. Bring them up, hey. 5:52. Got the 4-1 Rough Riders are in BC tomorrow, taking on the 3-3 Lions. Saskatchewan's coming off its first loss of the season, a 24-10 defeat at the hands of the Calgary Stampeders. Belton Johnson joins me this morning, Grey Cup champ, part of our Green Zone game day coverage. Belton, buddy, here we are. It's another Friday. How are you feeling about this game tomorrow?
Oh, man. After last week, it's got to be better, Kevin. And, last week we saw the Riders dismantled, you know, by the Stampeders, where the Stampeders, they made the Riders one-dimensional. They took away the Riders' run game, and defensively the Riders were giving up big plays there. So how do I see this one going? It's got to be better than last week, Kevin.
Yeah, so it seems like based on that answer, Belton, we know what they need to do to win: improve their run game, improve their defense, and they might get it done. Is there anything else they can do?
Well, I know they return. Who is it? Samuel Emlis. He returns to the lineup for the Riders offensively. You know, wide receiver there, so that's going to be a big boost. And I do believe with Tavon Campbell coming back, you know, in the secondary, that could be a boost there as well. And again, you know, with the Riders, they need to run the ball to get back on track here. And, you know, you ask what else they could do. I think defensively, if they blitz the quarterback every now and then, that probably could help, because that, you know, when you blitz a quarterback, it, you know, it can throw the timing off and everything for the quarterback. It's usually offenses like to get into a rhythm there.
Yeah, put a little bit more pressure on him. I mean, you talk about running the ball. We've just learned kick returner Mario Alford is out. That's going to be a big loss. It's hard to replace the yards that he brings the team.
It is, especially this year. You know, Mario Alford, he's definitely gotten my attention the way he's returned the ball this season. If you remember, what, a few weeks back there, he single-handedly won the game for the Riders against the Argos. So he will be a big loss, and I'm not sure who they're going to have for their return guy. Maybe it'll be Dre McCree, who knows. But, yes, Alpha will be a big loss.
Green Zone's Belton Johnson on the line with me this morning. So the Riders, we know, Belton, earlier in the week, cranked up the intensity of their practices. Does that pay off for them?
I think it will. You know, I've been a part of teams where you – lose like that, and the coaches next week, you know, practice, there's a lot of hitting going on. So hopefully the Riders were able to get some of the frustrations out and fix any of the problems that they would have had against the Stampeders to get back on track. Because I'm going to tell you this, Kevin, the BC Lions, they watch film too, right? So they're going to try to replicate what the Stampeders did. And hopefully this time around, the Riders have a counterpunch there.
Yeah, the Lions, by the way, Nathan Rourke, he is, back with them, a quarterback for the Lions. He's won the last two games in a row. BC has put up two wins in a row, Belton, so they certainly have momentum heading into this one.
The BC does, and, you know, they are a pretty decent team there, especially with Rourke at quarterback. And, you know, I just remember games, you know, last year and everything, you know, Rourke, the Lions putting up big numbers there. You know, offensively. And that's why, again, I think the defense, you know, if you blitz every now and then, don't play the bend zone defense so much, because, I mean, we saw what the Stampeders were able to do with it. And, you know, Rourke, he is a bona fide quarterback here in the CFL, so they better get some pressure on that young man.
Have a great weekend, Belton. Thanks for this.
Hey, have a good one, Kevin.
Belton Johnson, part of the Green Zone coverage, which you will hear tomorrow. Belton will be back both pre- and post-game. .614. Hopefully rain doesn't cancel your weekend plans, including if you are headed to a park. SAS Parks. Robin Campesi joins me now. Morning, Robin. Nice to chat with you again. And SAS Parks Week, there are some special things going on for those headed to provincial parks, especially tomorrow. Robin, tell us what it means.
Yes, the government of Saskatchewan has proclaimed July 13th to 19th as Saskatchewan Parks Week. It's a week that celebrates provincial parks, the visitors who visit them, and it helps connect people to the outdoors and the benefits that really our natural environment provide to our everyday life.
Any fun or new activities to mark this time?
Oh, yes. We have several park interpretive programs held this week to honor and celebrate the week. I'll tell you about a few in some local communities. Around Echo Valley, we'll host a hike on the Scenic Valley Interpretive Trail. And there'll be a really cool craft, courtesy of Sticks and Doodles, called Paint Your Own Saskatchewan. That one's going to be super fun. Rowan's Ravine will also have a Sticks and Doodles craft, along with night caching, which is a really fun activity with reflective markers to guide participants on the way. Kids love night caching, by the way. way. Buffalo Pound, they can enjoy Craft Club as well, followed by a haunted hike at 8 o'clock to the Nicoll Homestead. That one is going to be super cool and a really creepy walk in the forest at night.
Sounds terrifying, but in a good way.
Exactly.
So has it been a busy year in parks so far?
Yeah, we're having a good year, obviously a little bit challenging because of the forest fires. We have closed Narrow Hills for the season, and that closure will have an impact overall on our summer visitation. But that said, we're holding strong in terms of camping occupancy. We're only down about 4% compared to last year, year to date. That might change a little bit as we go through the year, but right now we're doing fairly well, and we've seen a lot of visitors. And this weekend, we're really booked up. We're sitting about 82% occupancy. Places like Rowan's, Echo and Buffalo are pretty much full. But that said, visiting for the day and taking advantage, Parks Day has free entry. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's part of Parks Day is offering free entry to our valued visitors. And so we really encourage people to pack a picnic, come out for the day, take part in the programming, and take advantage of having free entry into our provincial parks.
What about for the rest of the season? Campsites, provincial parks, availability still thumbs up?
Yeah, we're busy in July, like always, but there becomes a lot more availability after the August long weekend, and a lot of electrical sites will be available for people sort of deciding, you know, if they're looking at the weather, making shorter-term decisions. Lots of opportunity for that in August and well into September. And September is an awesome time to camp. The cooler weather, the warm campfire, the leaves changing. If visitors haven't taken advantage of that, I would really recommend it because it's a beautiful time to be in park.
We talked about smoke a little bit earlier in the impact that is having on some campsites and for campers overall. If you are headed into a provincial park today, even through the weekend, there are still some fire bans in certain areas to be aware of, correct?
Yes, the full listing of our fire restrictions are and bans is available on our website at sasparks.com. You know, there's quite a few when you're looking at the northeast side of the province, some in the northwest, so it's really good idea to check that out before you head out. We do allow CSA-approved self-contained portable gas heating or cooking devices, fire pits, barbecues, pressurized stoves in those instances, charcoal briquettes, and pellet barbecues or smokers as well. So anything that's not really an open flame is allowed.
Robin, anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I just really encourage people to come out. Free entry day, Parks Day, lots of cool programming, lots to take advantage of. And I know our park staff are really excited to welcome everybody this weekend.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That is Sass Parks' Robin Campesi. And as you heard her say, you can get into provincial parks free tomorrow as well. Just to let you know, in Echo Valley, there's the Hot Rod Hijinks car show happening as well this weekend. I 622. You're in the news this morning with our Lisa Schick, but there is new development we're learning this morning concerning the Jansen Potash Mine, that massive BHP project east of Saskatoon. The Mo government touts is the largest investment in the province's history. The project is being delayed. The mine isn't expected to start producing from the first stage until mid-2027, when it had originally accelerated things the end of next year. It's also considering pushing output from the second stage by 2 years into 2031. This is all according to Reuters this morning. So yeah, a couple years delayed, it seems like, in the various stages. Now, the miners pointing to huge cost overruns. The original estimate was $5.7 billion. Now it's talking about upwards of $7 billion for the first stage. It was first announced the mine is expected to employ more than 600 people a year when fully open, and mean tens of billions of dollars to this province's economy. Speaking of the provincial government, Premier Scott Moe is getting some new questions about not visiting certain areas hit hard by wildfires by the NDP, and as well by those directly affected, especially in Dinair Beach and East Trout Lake.
Not those two, but I have been to other areas where the wildfire has been impacted and visited a number of evacuation centers as well.
Now, Moe says he has been to the L'Orange area, Beauval area, and to the Montreal Lake area. But for Dinair Beach's Linda Lowe, that's not good enough.
So I'm not surprised that, as I call him, No Show Moe doesn't show up here, because he's already sent his ministers.
Now, she's currently living in a trailer since her cabin burned. Mo says, as the leader of the province, Mo should have been one of the first people there.
We needed you before the fire. We needed you during the fire, and we needed you after the fire, and you still have not showed up. So don't bother coming now.
Mo says he is more than willing to visit Dunair Beach and East Trout Lake at some point. Mo, by the way, just invited every other province and territory across Canada to join the New West Partnership Trade Agreement. Right now, it only includes Saskatchewan, as well as BC, Alberta, Manitoba.
We don't have to compete against one another to strengthen our individual economies. We can actually work together to strengthen the whole of our economies together.
He says this agreement reduces interprovincial barriers, which are at the heart of the discussion across the country right now amid global trade uncertainty. At this point, he hasn't heard back from anyone, but there is no deadline, per se, to join. Of course, this all comes with Donald Trump's tariffs in effect. We're looking internally now, looking at how we can do things better, perhaps rely on other countries like the U.S. a little less. It's a surprise reversal, speaking of President Trump, for the president after railing against Democrats and members of his own party to move on from the Jeffrey Epstein files. Trump is now urging his own attorney general to unseal grand jury testimony in the case. Attorney General Pam Bondi is responding, saying they are ready to move on this. Legal experts say the chances of the material being released in full are extremely slim. Finally, this morning, other big headlines we're following. Ag in Motion Outdoor Farm Show is now over for another year. Very popular show. People from all over the world go to this show. And yes, those right across Saskatchewan, Tristan and Jenna Hopstein, drove from Weyburn for the first time for the show and were impressed.
I think just all the new innovative ag.
Taking it all in, learning lots. We were talking to some Aussie guys about some of their equipment they've got, which was intriguing. So that's my favorite part so far.
Yeah, learning from what they do in other parts of the world. We heard from other people as well who went to the show in Langham, about 15 minutes northwest of Saskatoon on the Yellowhead Highway. That, yes, learning from people across the globe is a good thing. Evan Bray was just in Langham last couple days for Ag in Motion. He is back with me in studio a little bit later this morning. And as well, going back to Premier Mo, he will be a guest coming up on the Evan Bray Show a little later this morning.